Is the bride ready for the marriage to the Lamb? Part 3, turn with me to Revelation 19. These verses in 7 and 8, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That marriage will take place after the bride hath made herself ready, and part of that being ready would be her being clothed in fine linen, which we see is righteousness, clothed in righteousness. And way back over in Isaiah, we see these prophecies which fit these chapters in Revelation, prophecies given by the prophets of God pouring out his Spirit upon his people after he had regathered them in the place called Zion, such as Isaiah 61 and verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so, or in that manner, the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. In the next chapter, in verse 4, we read, God still says to this land, or Jerusalem, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, or thy land married, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. So we see Israel, which is also a part of this entity called the Bride of the Lamb, not only the Israel people, but apparently also the Lamb. This bringing forth, as a garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, of the righteousness of God upon Israel, was evident in the parable of the mustard seed, which we also read last week. Now this place called Zion was to be as small as a mustard, but was to then grow to be the greatest of herbs. And I believe that can fit the only land on earth that has grown like that, the United States of America. Turn with me to the prophet Hosea, for here is this chapter 2, which the prophet was given after God had divorced Israel and told her that she was no longer his wife, but at the same time, the prophet said that Israel would be remarried to God. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and comfortably unto her. Verse 16, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Beli. The margin will tell you that the word Ishi means husband. So the time would come when Israel would again call God Almighty husband. Verse 19, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercy. So here is the marriage contract was to be made by Jehovah with a reconstituted Israel. And then in the last verse in that chapter, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Now, I believe that that marriage cannot be finished now today because it is literally true that the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by and large, still do not even know they are God's people. The propaganda of the enemy and the Antichrist is so great, teaching them that the Jews are Israel and that we are Gentiles, that most of they are God's people. So that knowledge must, of necessity, come to pass sometime in the future, for how can the bride be ready for the marriage if the bride doesn't even know she's the bride? She wouldn't be there for the wedding, she'd at least be late, and she could not be there for the ceremony. Turn back to Zechariah 2, where we closed last week. In verse 8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. I believe that this land of Israel, this Zion, New Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, can only be the United States of America, and America is the most robbed and plundered of all nations upon the earth. Today, our food, our fiber, our manufactured products, even our labor is being used to build other nations. Our money, our gold, everything that we own is being taken from this land and passed into the hands of the alien and the foreigner. Whether it be the Arab, the Jew, or the Asiatic, they are taking possession of the land of Zion and the produce of this land. God says, they're spoiled, but he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Notice in verse 7 of this same chapter, it said, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Again, here is that same command, literally, prepare yourself, O Zion. Zion that dwelleth with Babylon, and I believe that means very simply that this kingdom of God upon the earth was to be established as a tiny mustard seed, just as America was established with the little colonies on the East Coast. It was to grow up and be known as a Christian nation following the resurrected Christ, but later to come under the dominion of Babylon. Here he says, Zion dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. In Micah chapter 4, which most of you know quite well, is a prophecy of the kingdom in the first few verses. And as he goes on about that kingdom, he even says in verse 8, and thou, O tower, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. This can only be the same New Jerusalem we read of in Revelation, the same Zion and Jerusalem we read of in Isaiah 60, 61, and 62, and he says the kingdom is going to come to that place. We've seen is a land, but here even Micah says that place is in trouble. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. And we see that this nation of America is in pains. We are in trouble. We are in sorrow. We are being destroyed, both within and without. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. Thou shalt go even to Babylon. How about that? The Zion, the New Jerusalem, the place which was to receive the kingdom, would go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from whom? From the hand of thine enemies. It must be that this Zion or New Jerusalem would come under the control of the enemies of Zion, the enemies of God, called in prophecy Babylon, called in Revelation mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now we are told in those chapters in Revelation about this prophetic Babylon, how we will be delivered. Chapter 18 of Revelation is the vision that John had of the destruction of Babylon, this which rules over all of the earth and rules over God's people, and according to the prophets, would rule over Zion, the actual place of Christ's kingdom, would be under control of this Babylon. In Revelation 18, as the angel sent, we read in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So here's a call to God's people, come out of Babylon. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And here, I believe, is how Israel, in Zion, in New Jerusalem, will come out of Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. What does that mean? I believe that is a call to battle against mystery Babylon. Israel is going to come out of Babylon by destroying Babylon in Zion. Now that is strange doctrine, I suppose, to so many of our good Christian brethren who think the kingdom of God is off up in heaven. And yet here we read of this kingdom place, this kingdom land, Zion, that it actually dwells with Babylon. And in verse 18 of Revelation 17, the angel told John that that scarlet woman, Mystery Babylon, is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Mystery Babylon, the Antichrist entity, rules over all of the earth and even rules over the kingdom of God upon the earth. How about that? I know it's hard to imagine for people who have heard that the kingdom is in heaven and is a place only where dead saints go, and that none but that, and yet we find in Micah the place that was to be given the kingdom would even go to Babylon, and there she would be delivered. So of necessity, to fulfill these things which are written, the kingdom nation of Zion must come under the control of Babylon, which I think has already happened. Turn to Daniel 7. Daniel also was given a series of visions, just like John was, which an angel then described to him and told him what they were. Among others is the vision in Daniel 7 of four beasts, which the angel told him were four kingdoms. In other words, four beast kingdoms as in the earth. The last one is described starting in verse 19 of Daniel 7. The truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. In other words, the last kingdom took over and controlled all of the previous kingdoms, which would fit Babylon of Revelation 18 as ruling all of the earth. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of them three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn, in other words, this ruling entity which ruled over the last beast kingdom, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So here is another prophecy or vision that says that the Antichrist or anti-God kingdom would prevail against God's people. In verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints did what? That the saints possessed the kingdom. In other words, this fourth beast kingdom and that entity, which is a horn here, which ruled over it, would rule over the saints of the Most High until the time came that they possessed the kingdom. And I've remarked so many times, every one of these prophecies, to read, leave no room for such a thing. It goes right on through the beast kingdom, or Babylon, or whatever name it's given in prophecy or in Revelation, right up to the time when an event takes place which gives the saints the kingdom, and that event is the destruction of the Antichrist kingdom, until the saints possess the kingdom. In verse 26, it speaks of this same event, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they, in other words, the saints, shall be given into his hand till a time and times and the dividing of time. So here again is an expansion of this. The saints will be given into the hand of the last controller of this beast system. But the judgment shall sit, and they, who? The saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. The saints of the Most High God, God's Christian Israel people, will out of Babylon by doing what? By destroying that Babylonian system of empires. Now, if we believe the sequence in the last chapters of Revelation, it's obvious the marriage of the Lamb cannot take place until the bride is ready, and it will not be ready until Babylon is destroyed. and Babylon is to be destroyed by, as before, and I say it again, that the doctrine of the pre-tribulation secret rapture of the Christians off from the earth is one of the most deadly doctrines against God's people which can be preached. It neutralizes our people. It tells them the false doctrine that they have nothing to do with the destruction of the Antichrist world power. And yet, according to Daniel, according to Micah, according to Isaiah, according to Revelation, they are the people who will destroy that world power. Wouldn't it be something if you were to try to enlist an army for battle and tell them, well, now, men, I know I'm going to put you in this uniform, and we're going to call you our soldiers, but just before the battle begins, we're going to take you all out of the way, and we're going to let the enemy have the kingdom. That's literally what the doctrine of the secret rapture of the church teaches, that you Christian people will not join in the battle against the enemies of God's people. Turn with me to Numbers 35. We have seen that the land of Israel is at least a part of the bride of Christ. Over and over, this is repeated in Isaiah, the land would be married, thy son shall marry the land, and so on, in speaking of the Jerusalem of prophecy. In other words, whoso killeth any of the witnesses, but one shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, no fine, no imprisonment, but he shall be surely put to death. Then in verse 33, so, in other words, you do that, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood is by the land, and the land cannot be cleansed, of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inherit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. If the land of Israel, if America, if Zion, if the New Jerusalem is polluted because murderers are not executed, then that land has to be cleansed before the land can wear the robes of righteousness, which is the fine linen of the saints. The land will have to be made ready along with the people. And he said here very plainly that the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by, or except by, the blood of him that shed it. Turn over to Psalm 106. You know, many Christian people have the mistaken idea that if they accept Jesus Christ and profess to be a Christian, then they are not guilty or do not come under any condemnation for what goes on in their land or around them. But in this psalm, as in other parts of the Bible, we find it with Israel collectively as a people. You know as well as I do that when Israel was taken into captivity several times in the book of Judges, the whole nation was in captivity. When they went to Assyria, whole cities and families were taken into captivity, the good right along with the bad. Well, here is a condemnation of Israel for their sin. Psalm 106, we'll start reading in verse 34. They did not destroy the nations or the people concerning whom the Lord commanded them. In other words, they did not in the ancient land put to death the Canaanites, which you know they were commanded to do, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their work. Take a look at modern America, Israel, the Zion of Bible prophecy. We are learning the works of the heathen. If you look at our governmental apparatus, you will find even at the local level that these men tend to appoint Negroes, Jews, colored, and other aliens to positions of control. Our whole government is being taken over by aliens to the Commonwealth of Israel. We are learning their ways. They write the textbooks. In fact, many of them, as we have seen, are preachers in our churches. And they're teaching our people the ways of the heathen, one of which, of course, is that murder is all right and you can't put murderers to death. That's why our people have accepted that idea. Verse 36, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. That's what we read of not putting murderers to death. The land was polluted with the blood shed by murderers. And you say, well, we don't kill our people in this nation. Well, how many of God's Israel people, children, if you please, were put to death by the murderers called doctors who committed abortions on over 1 million women in this land of America last year? And some of the articles which I have read make it rather plain that the vast majority of the women who go to these doctors for abortions are white Anglo-Saxon women. The Negroes, being fearful of any kind of an operation, do not go and get abortions. They have the babies. And our people have been convinced to go and have their babies killed in the womb, millions of them. I wonder how many million more of our cell are destroyed by the alcohol and the drugs furnished by the Canaanite Jews that we have allowed to live in this land, just as Israel of old allowed the Canaanites to live there. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. Jesus said to the Pharisee Jews, ye are of your father the devil. And in Matthew 13, Jesus said of the tares in the kingdom, that they are the children of the wicked one, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So in the parable of the tares and the wheat, we find that the children of the devil are in the kingdom. Now if all of the rest of this fits, well, we read in Revelation and Isaiah and the rest of these prophets, then the children of the devil are here in America, Zion, the land which is to be the bride of Christ. And they are killing God's Israel people who are being sacrificed to the Canaanites. Verse 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Now the idols of Canaan were symbols of religious worship. Some of you have listened to, and I won't repeat it here, my series on There Are Baal Worshippers in America. And our people, even our religion, is being polluted so that we go through the rituals of the worship of Baal, which was the religion of the Canaanites. They are even converting our religion to Baal worship to a great extent. And the blood of the unborn and the blood of millions of our young men in the last 50 years are upon hands of the Canaanite Jews who have led us into war in Europe and Asia and all over the world. I ask you, who ruled this nation? Verse 39, thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, or Israel, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. In the last 2 years, anyone who will look and listen and use the sense that God gave him, that Canaanite Jews rule America. Almost all of the men around, the President of the United States, and even the Vice President, Mr. Rockefeller, who may very well be the next president, is a Jew, as is Kissinger, and almost all of the men who rule this nation. Europe, our brethren in Europe, others who are Jews, and most of their stooges in all the governments of Europe are Jewish. They are ruling over the Israel people, and they are what? They are obviously the last beast kingdom, these houses of mystery, mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And why are they doing that? Well, because in verse 34, we did not do what Israel was to do. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom they mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Now that word heathen there does not mean Negro, it means Canaanite. Because Canaanites were the ones who were in the land of ancient Palestine when Israel was brought in. In the land stand the bride, the land must be cleansed before the wedding can take place. I have a book here called Haley's Bible Handbook, which is available to almost all Christians. If they're not sure it's still the same as it was, this is a copy of some years ago. I have read this before, and I think it behooves us to hear some of this again. I am convinced that even among the kingdom identity people, we do not realize the filth and corruption that is taking place in this land right under our noses. The stench is reaching under the heavens, and yet the Christians can't even smell it. Isn't that amazing? This is Astarte, her Greek and Roman name. Balaam, the plural of Baal, were images of Baal. Ashtaroth, the plural of Ashtoreth. Asherah was a sacred cornerstone or a trunk representing the goddess. Temples of Baal and Ashtoreth were usually together. Priestesses were temple prostitutes. Sodomites were males of Baal, Ashtaroth, and other Canaanite gods consisted in the most extravagant orgies. Their temples were centers of vice. Now you think of Hollywood, which is a Jewish enclave, of Las Vegas, of New York, of Los Angeles, of San Francisco. All of these cities, the Jews have been able to insinuate their culture upon the governmental apparatus of that city or that state and become a center of vice. This is known by our people, and they cannot see the connection. Archaeological notes, Canaanite religion. God's express command to Israel was to destroy or drive out the Canaanites. That should be read here in Psalm 106. God's condemnation to Israel was that they did not do it. And Joshua went at the task in dead earnest, himself with miracles helping. In reality, God did it. Excavations at Gezer, McAllister of the Palestine Exploration Fund found in the Canaanite stratum, which had preceded Israelite occupation, at about 1500 B.C., the ruins of a high place, which had been a temple in which they worshipped their god Baal and their goddess Ashtoreth. It was an enclosure 150 by 120 feet, surrounded by a wall open to the sky where the inhabitants held their religious festivals. Within the wall were 10 rude stone pillars, 5 to 11 feet high, before which the sacrifices were offered. Under the debris in this high place, McAllister found great numbers of jars containing the remains of children who had been sacrificed to Baal. The whole area proved to be a cemetery for newborn babes. You wonder why the Jews in America are propagandizing and pushing our people to have abortions, abortion, abortion, abortion. That is a theme they cannot get out of their minds. All they can think of is the purpose. To sacrifice them to Baal. That's what's going on in this land. This land is defiled. Are we ready for the marriage to the Lamb? No, I do not think so. Another horrible practice was what they called foundation sacrifices. When a house was to be built, a child would be sacrificed and its body built into the wall to bring good luck to the rest of the family. Many of these were found in Gezer. They have been found also at Megiddo, Jericho, and other places. In other words, buildings built with a baby's body buried in the wall so they could have good luck while they lived in that home. Do you think those kind of people can live in God's kingdom? On another page, on archaeology, is a small note about this. He says the Oriental Institute excavating at Megiddo, which is near Samaria, found in the stratum of Ahab's time the ruins of a temple of Ashtaroth, goddess wife of Baal. Just a few steps from this temple was a cemetery where many jars were found for official murderers of little children. This is the origin of murder. And to kill the little babies. Christian people do not know. They don't have the idea of what is going on in this ocean of abortion in America. This is a sidelight on Elijah's execution of the prophets of Baal and helps us to understand why Jehu was so ruthless in his extermination of Baalism. And I've heard people say, well, I can't understand a God who would send a man out who would kill all the priests of Baal by trickery. Bring them into a temple and say, well, we're going to have some Baal worship. And then when they got in there, Jehu killed every one of them. I think God is a God of righteousness and justice. And I think that was justice being executed in the land of Israel. Back to page 167, he goes on about this high place. McAllister found enormous quantities of images and plaques of African feelings. So, he sums this up. Canaanites worshipped by immoral indulgence as a religious rite in the presence of their gods, and then by murdering the firstborn children as a sacrifice to these same gods. It seems that in a large measure, the land of Canaan had become a sort of Sodom and Gomorrah on a national scale. Do we wonder any longer why God commanded Israel to exterminate the Canaanites? And Haley asks, did a civilization of such abominable filth and brutality have any right longer to exist? It is one of history's examples of the wrath of God against the wickedness of nations. My friends, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that culture, that civilization, that religion of the Canaanites is here in America, and it is being practiced by the Canaanite Jews in this land upon our people. This land is defiled. Here is a newspaper advertisement of a new movie that has come out of Jewish Hollywood titled Lepke. They are now making movies and grinding our faces in glorifying these people who are the criminals and the murderers in America. This is a movie about Murder Incorporated, which some of you heard about back in the 20s and 30s. Here is a photograph showing the men with their names. Lucky Luciano, Vito Genovese, Albert Anastasia, Louis Lefty Buchalter, Gura Shapiro, Bugsy Siegel, Dutch Schultz, Frank Costello. These men have two things in common. Number one, they were at that time members of the most criminal, murderous organization in the world, and every one of them was a Jew. Every one of them was a Jew. The movie is made by Jews to glorify their criminality. In Psalm 106, we just read in verse 37 and 38, speaking of Israel, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters on the devils. We let our people be killed by these children of the devil who practice their religion in this godly and holy land, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrifice unto the idols, unto the religion of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. This land of America is polluted with the blood of our Israel people, who have been slain by these Antichrist Jews who have taken over this land. We say, we read in Numbers 35 that the land could not be cleansed except by the blood of those who shed it. God tells us what to do as a people in Deuteronomy 7. And remember what I read in Psalm 106. One of the sins of the Israel people was that they had not put to death and destroyed the Canaanites. That is a sin upon all of the Israel people. Here's God's instruction. Back in Deuteronomy 7, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will do what? If you allow them to live in your land, they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burned their graven images with fire. Israel was under God's instruction to destroy these filthy, corrupt Canaanites out of the land of Israel and burn all vestiges of their religion. He said, if you don't, they'll turn away your children from following me. And I just mentioned earlier, I believe in the Sunday school class, that 90% of our young people who attend college have nothing whatsoever to do with any church belonging to the Christian religion. Our people have been turned away from following God because we have failed to do that which God has ordered His people to do. He goes on in verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee, thine eye shall have no pity upon them. Neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, in other words, if you are fearful of their power, and ask, how can I dispossess them, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. You see why it is so important that our people be imbued with the power and understanding of what God did when He brought our people out of Egypt. That will take away our fear of the Canaanites in this land. Verse 23, But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. This is what the great God who delivered our people out of Egypt, this is what the great God who shed His own blood on the cross of Calvary to save and redeem us, said about the religion of the Canaanites. It is a cursed thing. And this land is cursed because we have allowed these things to take place in this land. These murderers to come here and destroy our people with their religion, their corruption, their filth, and their idols of worship to Baal. This is Pastor Emery. I spoke longer than the tape again, and there were a few things which were not picked up on the tape. This was part 3. I'll begin by repeating those, and they will be on part 4 as we continue the same subject with other things which the bride must do to prepare herself for the marriage, including some things which are being done which are little known in America today.